Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Yadid Marketing Radio, and this is BK Walker, and I'll be your host for this evening. And I know it's been a few minutes since we've been on the air, but I'm so glad you could join us tonight, and I have an amazing author to introduce you to tonight that we're going to be chatting with. If you have a question, feel free to call in. If you are listening on the webcast, you can call in to 646-787-1640, and you can get your questions answered. And you should also be able to see the chat where you can ask questions inside of the chat, and we'll make sure that Dormaine is available and can answer them for you. Okay, so let me go ahead and introduce our author. Her name is Dormaine G, and she is currently on tour with Bewitching Book Tours. And let me just tell you a little bit about her. She was born in Long Island, New York, where she lived most of her life. And as an adult, she liked to travel out of the country, though her favorite places to explore were her fantasy worlds as an author. She may be a nurse by profession, but her heart has always belonged to writing. As a young child, she spent many Saturdays in the library nurturing her love for books. There, she discovered her fascination for the science fiction genre, though through books, movies, and graphic novels. Now she resides in Colorado with her husband and two feisty dogs. After many years of working in hospitals and travel nursing, she took time off to pursue a career in writing. Her first novel, Connor, is one of her favorite genres, young adult urban fantasy. Her second love is for horror, of which she created the Madame Lily Voodoo Priestess series. This is just the start of her exploration, as she stayed locked up in her office in Colorado spinning more tales. Welcome, Dormaine. Can you hear me, Dormaine? Can you hear me now? Okay, let me just make sure that everybody can. Let me see if we can. You hear me now, Dormaine?
Yeah, I can hear you the whole time. You can't hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I got to thinking, well, geez, maybe I had myself muted and didn't realize it. But, well, thank you for joining us tonight, and I'm so excited that you could be here. And I absolutely love the cover. The book that she's on tour with now is from the Connor series, but it is actually book two, called Connor Revealed, and the cover is just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I can't take the credit. My publisher did it.
Well, it is absolutely beautiful. I love it. And just so y'all know, she is published with Creativia, and her book is available at Amazon, I'm assuming, yes? Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Yep, Amazon.com. And the link for her tour so that you can follow her tour and possibly win a $25 gift card is in the description. So click on that link and hop on over to Bewitching Book Tours, and you'll be able to enter her giveaway and learn more about her and the book. Why don't you tell us a little bit, Dormaine, about book one to start?
Okay, book one revolves around the main character, titled Connor, and hence the name. I thought I'd keep that simple. Well, basically, she's a 15-year-old, typical 15-year-old, but she's so awkward. She's kind of like a little sci-fi geek, kind of like I was. And she's just a normal, average teenager who didn't have much to think about other than going to school and keeping out of trouble and trying to keep up with her older sister, who's, you know, just the pretty one, the smart one, the cheerleader, the whole perfect one. And she was just, you know, the awkward, the middle child. So one day she discovers that she has the gift of invisibility. So, and she realized that when she got upset or emotional, she would go invisible, but it wasn't something that she could just do. So she met up with other teenagers like her. She thought she was the only one. She found that she wasn't. And so there are teens like them. They didn't know why they're like this. They have the ability to go invisible and then other things. The other teens that she met up, like five other ones, realized that they could have other super abilities. And so they went searching to try to figure out what's going on with them, and then they all discovered that they were adopted, and then they come to find out that there are, even though they're human, they're like the first existing humans that were, you know, brought on this earth. Well, they were born into this earth with powers. And now humans that are born don't have abilities, but there's a reason why they have abilities. It's to save Earth from, and then they realize it's alien life forms, and they discover a whole another world that they knew nothing about. So she went from being a middle child that's just awkward to being someone who's like really important.
I love it. I love it. And it just sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to have to get my butt in gear and go get a copy of this. both in the series. I just love it. And I loved the description. It just sounds like an amazing ride, first of all. And I tend to love the not normal, you know, like urban fantasy,
yes,
and sci-fi.
Yeah.
I love when you can be taken into a completely other era, and, you know, it's not normal. And that's why I think science fiction is right on, you know, because you can make it into the future or just create your own world. And I just love that with science fiction. What have you discovered that was most surprising to you during writing this series?
For me, the fact that another planet, because book two picks up with another planet, because they have an adversary one. It's called Ether, or I call it Ether, but that I have to describe another world, another planet, and so it splits. Book two is on planet Ether, and the other book is on Earth. So I describe Connor on Earth and her, you know, what she gets into, and then, like I said, the other one, what's going on. I don't want to say who's on the other planet because that'll kind of give it away. It's like if you haven't read book one, if you haven't finished it, I don't want to say who's on it to give it away.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, and I want to explore it even more so in book three because it's going to be a trilogy, so which I'm working on now, but that and the fact that I am completely sarcastic. Like, Connor is so sarcastic, it's ridiculous in book one. So, I mean, and a lot of people said, yeah, that's you.
That's awesome. So, and I think that holds true for a lot of writers, that we actually bring a piece of ourselves into the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I believe it. I didn't realize as much that we do, but we definitely do that.
Yeah, and that's okay. That makes it more real because you know how you act, or you've seen, you know, when you're
mm-hmm.
using a person that comes to mind for a character, you know what they would,
mm-hmm.
how they would respond to a situation or what they would say. So it makes your writing more believable, I think.
Exactly. That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. You're right about that.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about your writing journey. Like, I know you were a nurse, which I think is phenomenal. I, too, am a nurse left nursing to actually write and teach authors. So that was awesome. I love that I don't know if you've noticed this, but have you noticed, like, so many nurses actually turn to writing?
You know what? I have noticed that. I was like, is this a coincidence? But, you know, but we have.
I think the stuff that we experience, it's like, oh,
yes,
my gosh, this would make a great book.
It really would. And I think that it kind of explains our mindset, because we deal with all kinds of basically characters as patients. So,
yes,
you know.
I just thought that was awesome when I read that. I'm like, yes, it's all nurses, I swear it.
It is, because we have, it's either two-way in nursing. Either you wind up getting bitter, and I hate to say that, or, you know, you have to have some outlet, and I think for a lot of us, writing is that.
Yes, definitely. Especially, you know, and just so everybody understands, you know, nurses have to abide by this HIPAA law. So we can't just come home and talk about our day or our patients or what happened or the struggles that we endured during the day with our family members, because we're just, you just can't, because if you break that law, you could literally be in big trouble for that. So the writing, we were able to create fictional characters around what we've experienced in our day. And I think you're right. I think our minds just become so creative because there's just so much stuff stored in it.
Exactly.
But why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey of the transition from nursing to writing, and a little bit about your writing journey?
Well, when I was young, I never really liked to read. I didn't, and I had the worst handwriting, and I still do. Woo, I have the worst handwriting. My goodness. And so I never really liked to. We went to the library, and then I finally discovered, because being different, because I was always different in the house. I was always the one who liked the sci-fi, the one who liked the, what a lot of the boys liked back in the day. It wasn't like a lot of females liked, or we didn't talk about it, or it just wasn't accepted, I guess. When I was young, it was usually the boys that liked all this sci-fi and stuff. So my mom finally, found books that I would be interested in. So, and of course it was like, sci-fi fantasy and everything like that. So ever since then, it's like, as I got a little bit older and gone through school, I would, you write stories in class. And my teachers would tell me, you really, write well, you should really think about writing. And I didn't. My parents were like, go do nursing, So I decided to do the nursing, but I always wrote stories. But I never thought to publish them. I just never, because you just focused on your career. That was the path, and that's what you're going to focus on, and that's what I did. And then finally, I heard about people doing self-publishing. So as I got older, and I was like, I love nursing, don't get me wrong, I do. But then I was like, I really feel like I can take off when I'm writing. So I decided to take a chance and do my self-published in 2013.
That's awesome. That is amazing. I love that you self-published too. That just makes it all the better.
Yeah. So now I'm a hybrid, I guess they call us. And so, which is wonderful. I love doing both,
Right. And I think that being self-published too gives you more power over your work. Like if you wanted to run a sale, you can. You don't have to go through somebody else in order to get permission to run the sale.
Exactly. And I mean, it does give you a lot of power, though it's you're still trying to figure out what you're doing, But I love the part of figuring out, and taking this journey. Like I'm so far from 2013 to what I am today, Gosh, it's been 2.5 years. I think I published in September, October. So
that's awesome. And I love that you stated too that it has been a journey. And I think that's something that a lot of new writers need to remember, is that it is a journey, and you're not going to just come off your first publishing. Now, some are lucky and do become Amazon bestsellers or New York Times bestsellers, USA Today, but it is the journey and the learning process that helps you to actually get there. And the more you write, the more you're going to see success. What has been one of the biggest struggles you've encountered since taking this journey? Excuse my dog.
That's okay. I have two of them. For me, gosh, I guess two things. Marketing is so hard to market myself, but, I just don't put myself out there, and I had to learn to sell yourself, So that's very, very hard for me. And then the other thing is, like you read, I love to do horror as well. So horror, it's very difficult for women in horror. It seems like it's almost a fight or a struggle to get any recognition. It seems like it goes through a lot. The men get recognized. I don't know if I should say that, but it seems that way. So those two things are the hardest things for me, and I'm really trying to work on both of those. It's a learning process. It's a, you know.
And I agree with that. I think that, you know, it you know, because I'm friends with a lot of horror writers as well, and
mm-hmm.
most of them are men. And the
mm-hmm.
same goes for sci-fi. So I love that you're branching into that to make a crossover of the genre. And I think
mm-hmm.
we need to do more of that as authors and writers,
mm-hmm.
you know. My dogs are, I had to let them outside. They're driving me nuts.
<That's okay. laughs>
What kind
Fine.
Of dogs do you have?
Jack Russell Terrier and a Chihuahua. And Yeah, they're both small. One's 21 pounds, the other one's 5 pounds. So, but they just, my Chihuahua, of course, you know, it's all bark. And
yeah.
And then he barks, and then backs up and lets my Jack Russell Terrier take on whatever he, you know, brings on. It's cute. What kind do you have?
We have two pit bulls, two Catahoula cur dogs, and we have a corgi dachshund mix and a chihuahua.
Oh my goodness, you have nice different sizes there.
Yeah, I like my little ones, don't get me wrong, except for our puppy. We actually took in two of my daughter's dogs, and
okay.
one of hers was a pit, well actually her both of the pit bulls were hers at one time, and then she's only about not quite a year yet. And she thinks
oh.
she's a lap dog.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, she doesn't just get up on your lap. She leaps like she's a, I don't even know, like one of them kangaroos or something. She literally just
yeah,
leaps
like,
up into your lap
really?
And she's crazy.
It's like,
I'm
honey,
like,
you're
get
not small
out of here.
Anymore.
I know. And my daughter has done that to all her dogs. She's made them all babies like that, cuddle bugs. So they all think
oh.
that. Rancid used to, our big pit bull, he's going to be, he just turned 11. And he,
oh, wow.
thinks, he used to think the same thing, that he was a lap dog. We had to correct him on that.
Oh, yeah, a patient I used to go to when I did home health, and she had a Great Dane. That Dane was huge.
Yeah.
He thought he was a lap dog. He tried to sit in my lap every time.
You gotta love them big dogs that think they're lap dogs, and they and
I
like
know.
You said, they all bow down to our little Chihuahua too. Like he gets them every time.
Really?
Yeah. He,
Go ahead,
and they
little
just,
Chihuahua.
They just seem to think that, you know, they don't realize that he's so little, or they do realize that he's so little and that they can't do anything to him or they'll hurt him. So they just, he'll bite their faces or bite their, nip their necks, and they just walk away like it was nothing.
Yeah, that's so funny because my dog does it too. If he wants his food, he'll just, you know, ease in there and just take his food, or he'll just,
yeah.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. My dog does the same thing.
Yeah, they're all crazy.
Yeah, but we love them.
Yes, we do. So, tell us a little bit. I know we kind of get off subject, but that's what makes these interviews so awesome, is that we learn, you know, what authors love and what their home life might be like. Tell us a little bit about what your day consists of.
Well, right now I'm still working part-time as a nurse, so I do that just 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I have the 4 days off to do, you know, family stuff with my husband and stuff with family. But, and then usually 2 days and sometimes during the week after work I can do writing. So basically after work, after like the nursing job, I go home and I just write. And all day Sunday and all day Monday I write, because my husband works from Sunday to Wednesday. So it just works out. And I write, and I play my music. It depends on what I'm writing. So if I write Connor, I do, I play like adventure music, like Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor or Prince of Persia or stuff music like that. And then I write Connor because, you know, just for an adventure. And
I love it.
That's what I do with, yeah. I know. My husband laughed at me.
And that brings me to the next question, too. And I love that you play music because I love getting into the zone with music.
Mm-hmm.
It
yes.
really helps my writing as well. I totally lost my train of thought there because I'm waiting for these dogs to start barking again. What other must-haves must you have while you're writing?
Well, for some odd reason, like, I don't know why, I realized that, because my husband even seen me do it. Like, I have to clean up first the place, like, the kitchen, the other rooms, everything has to be in order, have to have the right lighting. I like for it to rain, but it doesn't really rain that much here in Colorado, so then I have the, I forgot what they're called, but it's like the mooding, I think. I forgot what it's called, but anyway, it mimics rain. You know, you turn it on and it sounds like the rainforest, the heartbeat. Okay. So I have on the rain sometimes. And then I have to have, you know, I sit on the bed. Like, I have this huge desk. So, but I sit on the bed most of the time and write. So, you know, everything has to be in order. Everything has to be perfect. I know this is horrible, but I throw a blanket over the bed, another blanket, and my dog's get on top of that, and then they just, you know, either sleep or act up on the bed or play with their toys, and I just write and just go to town writing.
I love that. Do you ever map out your writing time? You know, like, you know what your schedule is going to be, so do you ever map that out to and stick to, like, a time schedule?
I try... The only thing that I do is I say that I just want to write, you know, Sundays and Mondays, definitely. Sometimes I do Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays, but definitely Sundays and Mondays. And I just want to get so many words in. So I try to do anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 words every time I write.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's what I try to do. Because I know that a lot of people struggle with, like, time management, and they're like, oh, I'm too busy to write a book. But that's not – I always say, and I give it to them hard, I'm like, that's just an excuse, you know, everybody's busy. You just have to make that, if you want it bad enough, you know, it's just one of them things you have to make time for. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us one thing that you had to learn about the whole marketing process, that you know, something that maybe you wished you would have known back then that you do know now.
Mingling more, getting to know people more. I was always so shy about putting myself out there because I'm like, well, I'm new. I don't really know anything. I don't think anybody's going to really want to. I don't know. It's just mingling. It's just, I wish I had started off doing that. Like, so many authors are so helpful. You know, there's so many groups out there, putting yourself out there, taking chances and risks, you know, introducing yourself to other authors, doing, like, radio talk shows, just putting myself out there, taking a chance, taking a risk. I just wish I was a little more interactive, you know, at the very beginning. But, you know,
I feel
more confident now than I did 2 years ago. And then, you know, and then another 2 years I probably will, and then another 2 years. But, you know, we live and learn, right? That's what we learn on the journey.
Yes. But I love that you said that because there are so many writers that think that they can't do, like, these interviews on Blog Talk Radio or do a video chat. And I'm always pushing them. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
It just takes a little bit of practice.
I would have never done it. It does.
Yeah.
It does. And you have to get over your shyness. It's like you got to sell your work. It's like writing is only half the process.
Battle.
You have to, basically. You have to actually now sell yourself. Why should we buy you? Why are you, you know, more intriguing than the next person? So,
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that you just put that way too. And you're just an amazing author. Like I said, I'm going out right after we get off this interview and I'm going to buy your books because I am just so intrigued. So why don't you tell listeners, I mean, we're getting down here. Tell them how they can connect with you and, you know, all the places that they can purchase your books.
Okay, so I have a website at dormaingblog.blogspot.com. It's, I mean, if you plug in Dormaingeg, which is Dormaingeg, I mean, nobody else has that name. It's so unique.
Right.
Oh, God. I did not like that name growing up, Dormain, at all, because it's my middle name, actually. So I said, well, let me just use it for something. So that's what I use on my pen name, because my first name is actually Deanna. So, but I go by Dormain. But so you can check me on my blog. So you can do Dormain G blog. And then I have my website, which is dormaingg.com. And I'm on Goodreads under Dormain G, Twitter, my email. You can always email me at dormaingg@gmail.com. And so that's all my sites are really under the same name. And my books are on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
I love it.
So.
I love it. And I just want to thank you so much for taking this 30 minutes to chat with us tonight. And how long is your tour running? When does your tour end?
It ends the 13th, yes.
Okay, so just a couple more days. So you guys make sure that you're clicking that link in the description and go and check out her books. Connor Revealed is on sale right now for 99 cents, so you can grab
that
at Amazon.com. Oh, they both are?
Yeah, they both are. Yeah, so they're both 99 cents for the Kindle.
I'm loving it.
Yeah,
so you guys can get your hands on it and on this entire series. And then you can figure out what she's talking about who's on planet Ether. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you can one-click those, so make sure you're getting your hands on them. And don't forget to leave her a review, because reviews are so important to us authors, especially indie authors. So make sure you're leaving a review as well. And I just want to say again, thank you so much. And I am so happy that we could get to know you a little bit better. And I'm going to be following you in all your networks.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you having me. It was such a blast.
Absolutely, and thank you again. And we're going to close off the night tonight with just a few ideas here for marketing. You know, Dormain was saying about connecting with people, not only other authors, but as well as your readers. It's all about forming mm-hmm. a relationship with them, guys, and you need to be forming a relationship with them. You need to be building a mailing list, and I always say this, and people just don't get it. They're not building their mailing list, right? So make sure you're building a mailing list and networking. That's going to be key. And as we get down here to the last couple seconds, I am going to also give you one hot tip. Make sure that you are using Facebook and social media as your number one social network, because it is the biggest in the world right now with over 60 billion users every single day. So make sure that you're utilizing Facebook as your number one network and focus on just one or two networks to spread the news about your books. And then once you get to growing your network and connecting with people and forming relationships, then you can slowly start adding in the rest. Okay, guys, we are down to the minute here, and I am so glad you could join us. Please share this interview with everybody you know and share information about Dormain's books as well, and let everybody know that they can purchase them in this series, the Connor series, 99 cents each at Amazon.com. And I wish you all a wonderful night, and y'all did. Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.